ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى ثم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والليل إذا يسر والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر بسم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على رسول الله
صلوات الله عليه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم رب النور العظيم ورب الكرسي الرفيع ورب البحر المسجور ومنزل التوراة والإنجيل والزبور ورب الظل والحرور ومنزل القرآن العظيم ورب الملائكة المقربين والأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم إني أسألك بوجهك الكريم وبنور وجهك المنير وملكك القديم يا حي يا قيوم أسألك باسمك الذي أشرقت به السماوات والأرضون وباسمك الذي يصلح به الأولون والآخرون يا حيان قبل كل حي ويا حيان بعد كل حي ويا حيان حين لا حي يا محيي الموتى ومميت الأحياء يا حي لا إله إلا أنت. اللهم بلغ مولانا الإمام الهادي المهدي القائم بأمرك صلوات الله عليه وعلى آبائه الطاهرين عن جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها سهلها وجبلها وبرها وبحرها وعني وعن والدي من الصلوات زنة عرش الله ومداد كلماتي وما أحصاه علمه وأحاط به كتابه. اللهم إني أجدد له في صبيحة يومي هذا وما عشت من أيامي عهدا وعقدا وبيعة له في عنقي لا أحول عنها ولا أزول أبدا. اللهم اجعلني من أنصاره وأعوانه والذابين عنه والمسارعين إليه في قضاء حوائجه والممتثلين لأوامره والمحامين عنه والسابقين إلى إرادته والمستشهدين بين يدي. اللهم إن حال بيني وبينه الموت الذي جعلته على عبادك حتما مقضيا فأخرجني من قبري مؤتزرا كفني شاهرا سيفي مجردا قناتي ملبيا دعوة الداعي في الحاضر والبادي. اللهم أرني الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل ناظري بنظرة مني إلي وعجل فرجا وسهل مخرجا وأوسع منهجا واسلك بي محجة وأنفذ أمرا واشدد أزرا. واعمر اللهم به بلادك وأحيي به عبادك، فإنك قلت وقولك الحق، ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس، فأظهر اللهم لنا ولياك وابن بنت نبيك المسمى باسم رسولك، حتى لا يظفر بشيء من الباطل إلا مزقا، ويحق الحق ويحققا، واجعله اللهم مفزعا لمظلوم عبادك، وناصرا لمن لا يجد له ناصرا غيرك، ومجددا لما عطل من أحكام كتابك، ومشيدا لما ورد من أعلام دينك وسنن نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله، واجعله اللهم ممن حصنته من بأس المعتدين، اللهم وسر نبيك محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله برؤيته ومن تبعه على دعوته، وارحم استكانتنا بعده. اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة بحضورك، وعجل لنا ظهورا، إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان، العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان، العجل العجل يا مولاي يا صاحب الزمان. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه، وأعوذ به من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما سيدي ومولاي بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. As'ad ala ayyamakum. Congratulations to each and every one of you on this occasion of the birth anniversary of our dear Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Before we begin, I would like to thank all the different organizations, all the respected scholars, all the dear brothers who have made this possible. Inshallah, may Allah bless you and bless all these dear brothers and sisters with the increased tawfiq, and may Allah inshallah accept from them. Today what I would like to do is talk about three things. One of them is the current situation that we have going on in the world. Secondly, I would like to talk about our Imam and our relationship with him. And thirdly, inshallah, with regards to tonight, which is the eve of 15th of Sha'ban, inshallah. When we look at the current situation that's going on in the world today, we see that there's a lot of difficulties. Life is not normal anymore for people. There's challenges. However, this is something that the Quran told us a long time ago. It is our shortcoming that we were not prepared for it. The Quran very often, at least in two places, has called these difficulties and has said that these difficulties are something that you will definitely face. And in some places has even mentioned it as the purpose of our creation. In Surah Mulk, chapter 67, verse 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So yes, the life is a test. Sometimes it's a test with blessings, and sometimes it's a test with difficulties. It's a little more clear in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 155, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, if you look at the Arabic grammar of this word, it emphasizes, there's extra emphasis that, listen, all you Muslimin out there, all of mankind out there, remember, لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will definitely test you. Have no doubt in your mind. If you have come to this world, we will test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, with emphasis. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will you test us? بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, we will either test you with fear, or jew, or hunger, or naqsim min al amwali wal anfus, or we'll test you with taking away your belongings, your money, your other material belongings, or your life, or taking away the thamarat. Thamarat, the mufassirin have mentioned thamarat either being actual fruits and fruits of the trees, or it also, some have mentioned that it refers to the children. So point being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized that, listen, O mankind, we will test you. So don't be surprised when something like corona pops up. Don't be surprised if you have any other difficulty that pops up. This I told you, I told you that this was going to happen. It was your responsibility to prepare for it. And then he continues, trying to help us get through this difficulty. Oh Allah, okay, so this is a test for me. But what am I supposed to do in this test? How am I supposed to get through this difficulty? And the verse continues, وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to those who are patient. Give glad tidings to those who are able to persevere through these difficulties. And the next verse, so Surah Baqarah chapter 156. Who are these sabirin? Who are these people who practice patience? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. These are the people that whenever there's a difficulty that they face, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Now sometimes our understanding with regards to this verse is very limited. We usually use it when someone dies or someone passes away in our families or friends. However, over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is saying that this difficulty, any difficulty that you face, if you want to be able to get through this, you have to be patient. Who are the people who are patient? The ones who say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What's the connection, O Allah, between me saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and me getting through these difficulties? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might say that if you were able to understand the meaning of Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, more than, beyond just it being something that we verbalize, beyond something that's just a verbal zikr, then you would understand. Because the reality of Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un is trying to explain to you and I. It's trying to explain to you and I that, listen, you actually belong to Allah. Everything that you have belongs to Allah. Everything that you see around you, whether it's your parents, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, all of these belong to Allah. It was your fault that you thought that this is my husband or my wife, or my father, or my mother, or my son, or my daughter. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Know that say the people who say that we actually belong to Allah, nothing belongs to us, and we shall go back to Him. Trying to explain or trying to imply or trying to understand the fact that this world is a temporary abode. This is not where we're supposed to be staying. This is not where I'm supposed to unpack and try to settle down. And if a person is able to come through with that sort of an understanding, then any difficulty based on the Quranic verse, explicit Quranic verse, any difficulty would be easy for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond that gives glad tidings. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. These are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salawat on them. So it's not Allah and us sending salawat on the Prophet anymore. If a person is able to reach the understanding of their deen, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the reality of this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salawat on them. وَرَحْمَةً, and He sends His mercy on them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. These are the people who are the rightly guided. Now this is something that's in general. It's not specific to any specific test. This is something that's in general. The test that we're facing nowadays, right? Test that we're facing nowadays. Everyone's life has been thrown out of order. Everything that we used to, we cannot do anymore. This is something that, I don't mean to say over here that the Quran is saying that, you know, it's going to be a test anyways, so you don't need to do anything, just live life as normal. That's not what the Quran is saying. That's not what we understand from the ideology that Islam puts forward, the worldview that Islam puts forward. Islam emphasizes on the fact that you and I, we have to do our responsibility. So in this specific case, we are obliged to take care of our health. We're obliged to take the precautionary measures. It's mandatory for us to take any steps that are necessary to ensure our own safety and the safety of others. But that does not contradict the fact that, yes, that does not contradict the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, listen, you will be tested. So how we reconcile between these two is a person takes all the precautionary measures that they need to take, and on top of that, at the end of that, they realize, listen, I took the precautionary measures that were necessary. But if after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to give me health, then alhamdulillah, decides to give me another test, then so be it. So we reconcile between those, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His, whatever it is that He wants, is something that we come to terms with, inshallah. So that's one thing. Now, I would like to look at another perspective of how people like myself can think about these challenges that we have nowadays. What I'm thinking nowadays is, I used to go to work, I used to go to class, I used to be able to go to a restaurant if I wanted, I used to be able to go shopping when I needed to, I used to be able to do whatever it is that I wanted. However, now, this is Allah's test for me. It's so difficult. I have to stay at home. I can't leave the house, and so on and so forth. But just a different perspective. This is a difficulty that we've been faced with for the past couple months. But how oblivious am I? And I feel like my entire life is upside down. But how oblivious am I? How oblivious am I that there's people whose difficulties and whose tests are not something that just comes by for a couple months, but it's something that's part of their life. It's part of their life. It's not as simple as, oh, I can't go out, I have to stay at home. Because a lot of these people, and who are the followers and lovers of our Imam, they don't have a house to go back to. The difficulties that they face is much more difficult than the difficulty that I am facing today. They get bombarded day after day. They get sanctioned time after time. Their basic necessities are not being met. They don't have drinking water. They don't have food. They don't have medicine. They don't have hospitals. They don't have anything. Nothing at all. And yet me, as a follower of the Imam, as a follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen, as a follower of the Holy Prophet, am very often oblivious to those realities. If I even follow them, it's an article that I read, it's a news that I see, but nothing beyond that. All these years and years that we've seen the oppression that's going on in places like Yemen, the oppression that's going on in Kashmir, the oppression that's going on in Palestine, the oppression that's going on in Bahrain, the oppression and so on and so forth. All of these places, I've heard about these oppressions for decades in some places. Yet, never worried about it. Like how I'm worried about not being able to go get my groceries today. This is something that Islam and the Quran wants us to wake out of. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends those verses. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet and the Imams with the Hadith. So that I don't fall into that slumber. I don't fall into a place where I have no feeling for others. All I care about is me and myself. So difficulties, yes, there are difficulties. We are facing a lot of difficulties. But there's always been people who've been facing difficulties and much more severe difficulties than ourselves. So inshallah, we take precautionary measures for ourselves. We pray for ourselves. May Allah inshallah protect all the mu'mineen from this virus. May Allah inshallah bless those who He has decided to take away with this virus and elevate their souls. May Allah inshallah protect all the mu'mineen, especially our maraji and our scholars and all those who spend all this time serving Islam. So that is with regards to what's going on today. Now, with all this oppression and all these difficulties that we see in this world, our own dear brothers and sisters being oppressed by the enemies, being oppressed by oppressive governments, being oppressed by individuals and people and governments. But the good thing, the light at the end of the tunnel for the mu'mineen, for the muslimin, is that there is hope for them. As in Dua Nudba, it's narrated, أَيْنَ الْمُرْتَجَى لِإِزَالَةِ الْجَوْرِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Right? Where is the one that we hope for, who will take away all the tyranny, all the injustice, all the aggression, all the oppression? So there is something, there is some light at the end of the tunnel for us. Now, there are books and books written about our Imam. Books about how his birth was a miracle, about his minor occultation, about how he used to communicate with his Shia through his representatives, through his deputies, about books about his major occultation, and so on and so forth. All those things are there in the books. And it's very important for us to know those things, to be able to gain the ma'rifah, to be able to gain the understanding of our imam. So those things are important, and they're there. But what I would like to talk about today is something that's much more obvious than that. But people like myself sometimes forget them or neglect them. When we talk about our imam, alayhi salatu wasalam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, we say that he's in occultation. He's not here with us. Which means that he is alive. He lives in this world. He's here with us. Very often, he can hear us. He knows what we're going through. But how often do I think about this? How often do I think about my imam being alive? How often do I think about that he's here amongst us in this very world? He's a human just like you and I. He lives in this world. He breathes in this world. He eats in this world. He sleeps in this world. He prays in this world. Generally, when we think of someone, let me give you an example. Right? When I think of you or someone else as a friend of mine, when I think of my family, when I think of someone who is in my life and they're alive, there's a way that I deal with them. There's a way that I deal with them. I look at them. I consider them. I consider their feelings. I talk to them. I worry about if they're in difficulty. I worry about if they're okay. However, this imam of ours, I know that he's alive. Even every single child with our ideology knows, every single child in our house knows that the imam is alive. But how many of us deal with him in that way? How many of us deal with our imam as if he's alive? If I'm someone who awaits my imam, if I'm someone who truly awaits my imam, I need to realize that when the Ma'soom alayhi salam says that one of the best of the actions is intidharul faraj, that one of the best of the actions is awaiting the reappearance, I need to ponder upon that. That what they're emphasizing is, it's an action. I can't wait for my imam in a passive state. If it's the best of the actions, that means there must be some action. Now the question comes up. The question comes up. It forces me to think, what is that action? Right? How do I await for my imam? How do I await my imam? Do I just sit back and claim to be awaiting my imam and life just goes on? Is there anything that I do in my life with the intention of helping my imam? Is there anything I do? Because let me assure you that this imam of ours takes care of each and every one of us like we were his baby. He worries about us. He takes care of us. He always has his eyes upon us. Imagine a little baby going through a serious sickness. Right? Imagine a little baby going some serious sickness. Now imagine what the mother's heart feels like. This is how our imam feels about us. Every time we go through a difficulty. Now that does not mean that he only worries about the people who are at the highest level of taqwa, and all the others he doesn't care about. That is not how he works. He cares about every single one of us, even with all our shortcomings. Even with all our shortcomings. So imagine that love and that concern and that worry of a mother's heart when she sees her baby with a serious sickness. The worry of our imam is many times more than that. When he sees my sick soul, when he sees me with my shortcomings, when he sees that I am not striving to get rid of my shortcomings. So this is something that we really need to think about and consider, that our imam is there, is here, he's alive. Just like you can see me and hear me, he can see me and hear me. Yes, because of Allah's wisdom, because of our shortcomings, we're not able to see him. We're not able to talk to him. We're not able to hear him. We are able to talk to him. But that does not mean he does not exist. He still longs for me to talk to him. He still worries about everything in my life. He still wants me to talk to him and think about him and worry about him. Because he's just like any of us. He's just like any of us. Whereas on the other side, I await him by doing what? I await my imam by putting up his name on the wall. I await my imam by updating my status. I await my imam by liking something online. I await my imam by going to a milad, by going to a mauludi. I await my imam by doing all these different things. I await my imam by trying to improve, yes, perhaps. But my imam, he awaits me by staying up all night. He awaits me by crying for me. He awaits me by begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me and bless me with success and forgive me. This is the imam that we're talking about. I'm claiming to wait for him, whereas he is pouring his heart out. Why is this follower of mine not paying any real attention to me? He sends posters out about me. He sends text messages about me. But he never talks to me. He cries when he prays for his children. He cries when his family is faced with any difficulties. But not even once has he cried for me. Not even once has he stayed up all night awaiting me. Not once has a tear rolled down his eyes as he prays to Allah for me. So these are things, brothers and sisters, that inshallah, we should think about and inshallah start working on. 1400 years have passed by. We can't still, after all this knowledge, after all this advancement, still be caught up in fluff. We need to take real steps towards the imam. Towards the imam. That does not mean that the other things which are cultural or even religious that we do are not important. Yes, they are important. Yes, do the milad and the mauludis for the imam. Yes, do send text messages, if you will. Yes, do make posters about his ahadith. Yes, do read books about him. Yes, do all of those things. But if those things are not taking me closer to the imam, are not making me believe that he lives, he's alive with me right now, then how will I ever be able to have that relationship with my Imam? Just like any other person, I need to have a relationship with my Imam. God forbid that this Imam who's crying for me all night, and I don't think about him all week, even when on Fridays I think about him, don't really connect to him. Just read a ziyarah maybe. The best of us, the best of us. God forbid that one day this Imam puts his eyes into mine and I have no answers for him. God forbid. So what is my responsibility towards this Imam that cries these tears of blood for me? That his worry for you and I doesn't let him sleep at night. What is my responsibility towards this Imam? It cannot be the case that I define my responsibility as whatever I feel like doing. That's very obvious. How can we understand what our responsibility is? One thing we know for sure, based on the hadith, is inshallah, inshallah. May Allah hasten the reappearance. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Inshallah. When he comes back, based on the hadith, one of the things that will take place is he will fill the earth with justice, just like how it was filled with oppression and injustice before he came. Now, what is my responsibility towards that? If he is going to come, whenever he comes, and his mission or one of his goals is to establish justice in this world, and I myself am calling myself a helper of the Imam, a Nasir of the Imam, right? We read those du'as, beautiful du'as. Allahumma ja'alni من أعوانه وأنصاره وأشياعه والذابين عنه والمصارعين إليه والمستشهدين بين يديه. So I want everything. I don't want just one thing. I want to be his helper. I want to be his protector. I want to be the first one who goes towards what he wants. I want to do things before he asks me to do them. If these are the claims that I'm making, and on the other side, I know that my Imam's mission is to establish justice in this world, does it not make sense that I start taking baby steps, at the very least, towards that mission? Am I doing that? Am I taking those baby steps towards his mission? It can't be either extreme. It can't be the case that I sit back and say that whenever the Imam comes, he will take care of everything. Nor can it be the case that I feel like I can take care of everything right now, and we don't really need the Imam. Neither extreme is right. We are responsible for our actions. We have a responsibility to start moving in the direction of the mission of our Imam. So we have that responsibility. But everything that we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the Imam. أَيْنَ بَابُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي مِنْهُ يُؤْتَى. It is only through him all blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come to us are through his hujjah. And that ultimate victory where inshallah justice will prevail and the earth will be filled with justice will have to come to realization with the Imam. But that does not take away the responsibility that I have today towards that mission, towards that goal. So what do I do? What do I do? What makes sense is that I start aligning my life. I start aligning my life with what life would be like after the Imam comes back. with what life would be like under the Imam's governance. What life would be like under his government. What life would be like under his leadership. The principles that he will uphold in his time. So those are the things that step by step I need to start, at least start aligning my life with the life that that we will have at that point. I just want to pause over here for 1 second and go off on a slight tangent. What if it was the case that the Imam, that there was no Imam who was supposed to come back? What if that was the case? What if? Has the Quran not already established the necessity for self-purification? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Is this not an established concept of the Quran? Is this not something that would be my responsibility regardless? Gaining knowledge and understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen, is this not a necessity of our religion? Does the Quran not keep telling you and I to go around so we can see and observe the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is the Quran not inviting us towards Allah, towards the concept of Tawheed? Is that not an established concept of the Quran? Practicing the ahkam, striving to make sure, or striving to improve my actions, striving to improve the sincerity of my actions and the quality of my actions? Is this not an established concept of the Quran? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Verily, insan is in khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Has the Quran not established that for you and I? That the amal al-salih is required of me. That it's a responsibility of mine. Standing up against oppression. Was this not one of the foundations of Karbala? The revolution of Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam? So my point is, all of these concepts are established requirements of Islam. Even if the Imam wasn't supposed to come back. So how could it be the case that a person who awaits the Imam, who knows the goal of the Imam, who knows the ultimate mission of the Imam, who calls himself the awaiter of the Imam, who calls himself a lover of the Imam, how could it be that this person does not take these responsibilities seriously? How could it be that a person like that doesn't give importance to these things? So although these are things that are already established facts of Islam, where is the difference? The difference is that in this world of darkness that's filled with injustice, filled with oppression, filled with all of these tyranny and so on and so forth, yes, you and I have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility. But the good thing is, the reality is that the Imam will return. The Imam will come back. What that gives me is that light at the end of the tunnel shines for me. I see hope. I know that my master will come back. And it does not matter if I have worked for his mission, if I've worked towards his goal today, even if I die before the Imam comes back. The all-just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would consider me as one of his companions. As it's pointed in Dua Ahd as well, that he would raise mu'mineen as well when the Imam comes back. When the Imam comes back. So this is something that the one who's awaiting the Imam sees this oppression, sees the responsibility, but never loses hope. An awaiter of the Imam who is waiting for this al-murtaja, as we mentioned before, al-murtaja li-izalat al-jawri wal-udwan, as he awaits this this hope coming through, he doesn't lose his patience. He's patient because he knows he's on the right path, and he knows that the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming. Assalamu alayka ya wa'adallahi alladhi damina. My salam be on those, on the one, on the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has guaranteed. That he has guaranteed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you and I that if you guys keep on track, if you guys keep chugging along, establish concepts of Islam. Don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Keep chugging along. I'm the one who's guaranteeing you help. Assalamu alayka ya wa'adallahi alladhi damina. Further on in the ziyarah it says, Al-Ghawth wa-Rahmatu al-Wasi'a, referring to the Imam. That the all-encompassing mercy, when are you going to come? Wa'dan ghayra makdhub. This is a promise that will never, never be a lie. It's a promise that will come true. So it's this hope in the heart of the mu'min that can take him through any and all difficulties. Never ever will an awaiter of the Imam lose hope. Never will the awaiter of the Imam feel overwhelmed by these atrocities and the suppression. Yes, that does not mean that we become okay with this, because this is something that the Quran has told us that we will be tested with it. That's not what we mean over here. What we mean is, yes, the oppression is there. We take baby steps if need be. We take larger steps if possible to stand up against this oppression. To stand up against all these vices. And sit tight, because help is on its way. This is what Islam is trying to tell me, you and I. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell you and I. So the very least that we should be doing right now is we start preparing ourselves for standing up against this oppression. We start preparing ourselves with all the tools that are necessary for me to be able to stand up with my Imam. We start preparing ourselves with all the tools that are necessary for me to be able to take those baby steps. We should start preparing ourselves with all the principles of the Quran. The more aligned we become with the teachings of the Quran and the true Muhammadan Islam, the closer we will come to the zuhur, to the reappearance of the Imam. Laying the foundation down for his return is our responsibility. Now, what do we need to do to be able to start moving in that direction? How can a person who is an oppressor themselves lay the foundation for justice? So I need to start with myself. self-building becomes a responsibility for me. Self-building becomes a responsibility for the awaiter of the imam. Knowledge becomes a responsibility for the awaiter of the imam. How am I going to spread justice? How am I going to spread the truth if all I know about the truth is what I've heard from the minbar? There's more to it. There's more to it. Whatever comes from the minbar is good. But for one to be able to make strides in this path, we need to start taking this a little more seriously. We need to start moving faster in this way. How can a person who doesn't worry about themselves, doesn't work on themselves, be the standard bearer of justice? So we need to start from ourselves. We need to start with our family. We need to focus on self-building. We need to focus on knowledge. We need to focus on understanding the intricate details of Islam. What we see very often nowadays is people with a very limited understanding of Islam giving fatwas, giving direction. We see this in organizations, we see this in centers, we see this amongst friends. A person who doesn't know themselves is giving direction to people. This basira, this insight is going to come. This is something that God will bestow upon us if we take the right steps. So we need to start self-building, start gaining knowledge. We need to start working towards making these networks amongst the mu'mineen. I can't just think about myself. I have to think about being able to connect with the other mu'mineen who are also, inshallah, a part of the mission of the Imam, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, to break this down, these are very general things, but to break it down, I can start with reading books. I can start with setting up classes. I can start with getting in touch with people who know. I can, and so on and so forth. And it's the responsibility of those people who have that knowledge. It's the responsibility of those people who do know. It's the responsibility of those people who have those credentials to help each and every single one of us. Because we're all part of one team. We're all working for the Imam. We're all preparing the groundwork for the Imam. We can't leave each other. We're all one team, and we hold hands and we move forward. But the responsibility is there, brothers and sisters. The responsibility is there. This is something that we've seen throughout history as well. The people who worked on themselves, the people who were loyal, the people who were who understood what an imam means, were always successful. If Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam was the standard bearer, it was because of his loyalty towards his imam. If Abbas was the standard bearer, it was because of his chivalry. If Abbas was the standard bearer, it was because of his self-purification. If Abbas was the standard bearer, it was because he was willing to let go of everything for his imam. These are the lessons that you and I need to learn. I need to start taking those steps. Before any steps, the realization of a responsibility needs to be reached. I can't just keep going year after year, time after time, 15 Sha'ban after 15 Sha'ban. Not any relationship building with the Imam. I don't feel any closer to the Imam. I don't talk to my Imam. I don't cry for my Imam. I don't take steps towards my Imam's mission. So step number one is to be able to realize that. And that realization comes through pondering. As the Quran says,
أفلا يتدبرون القرآن. Why is the Quran emphasizing on contemplation? Why is the Quran emphasizing on that? Because you and I, with contemplation, we can reach conclusions. For you and I to be able to, if we fall into this, slumber, we won't be able to see anything. But just a little nudge that can wake us up can sometimes point out hypocrisies within our lives. Because these are hypocrisies that we see when we deal with other people. When I tell someone to their face that I really like you, but then talk bad behind their back. When I tell someone that I will help you, but don't show up when they need help. When I tell someone that I'll always be there for you, but I'm never to be seen. These are things that we all just innately understand that they're not things that we want within ourselves. We don't want those hypocrisies. But because we don't consider this imam a living imam, we don't deal with him how we deal with each other. We don't think about him like how we think about each other. So inshallah, a true awaiter realizes his responsibility. Step number one. Starts taking all the necessary tools that they need to be able to establish or to be able to take, starts taking steps towards establishing the ultimate mission and the ultimate goal of the imam. Yes, we won't be able to reach there until he comes back. But that does not take the responsibility away from us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. He's promised us help. Surah Rum, chapter 30, verses 6 and 7. وَعْدَ اللَّهُ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَ. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was talking about the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse before. And that says, وَعْدَ اللَّهُ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he shall never turn against his promise. And then the verse continues, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people don't know. Maybe, perhaps. What that not knowing, أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, most people don't know, perhaps that roots from most people don't think. Most people don't contemplate. And that is why we're left with these sort of voids in our life. Where everything's been given to us. We've been guaranteed help. We know that at the end, the victory will be ours. Yet, we're impatient. Yet, we have not built ourselves enough to persevere. Yet, we're not able to come through. So just if we could have that one realization that I have a responsibility towards the imam. I have a responsibility to improve myself. I have a responsibility to gain knowledge. I have a responsibility towards other mu'mineen. I have a responsibility. So starting from the individual level, all the way to the highest level, to the level of government, if you will. These are responsibilities that we have towards our imam, ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Tonight is for some of you, the upcoming night is the night of 15th of Sha'ban. When we look at the narrations that talk about this night, in some of the narrations, it's been compared or it's been said that it's one of the layali al-qadr. So, and why is that? Because it's one of the nights where destiny is decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some of the narrations, it says that it's the night, it's the second most important night after Laylatul Qadr. Regardless, the point stays that it's an extremely important night. How do we benefit from this night? How do we benefit from this night. If you open up the books, if you open up Mafatih al-Janan or other books and other websites and whatnot that give you the a'mal that one can do during this time, you'll see that there's many actions that are highly, highly recommended. There's the starting off with the ghusl. The ghusl is recommended, ghusl with the niyyah of 15th of Sha'ban. There is the staying up all night in ibadah is highly recommended. There's a narration that says that if someone spends the entire night in ibadah, this is someone whose heart will never die the day that all the hearts will die. Right? So extremely important night. That's another one of the recommended acts. The ziyarah of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, Imam Hussein's ziyarah, is highly recommended during this time. Istighfar, it's a highly recommended action for the general month of Sha'ban. We're halfway through, half more to go. Inshallah, before we take advantage of this time to prepare ourselves for the holy month, for Shah Ramadan. So all of these things, there's many other actions that are recommended, many other du'as that are recommended. One thing that I would like to emphasize on that I think is really important. Is that all these actions are good and they're recommended. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Anyone who does these actions, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all their actions and gives them the reward. However, so these actions are very important. Please don't misquote, right? It's important, do those things. However, there's another established fact in Islam. Well, it says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The worth of an action is with the person's intention. So, I'm going to open it up a little more. Right? Intention over here, the point that I'm trying to benefit from this is not necessarily that your intention, God forbid, for doing the ziyarah of Imam Hussein is to show someone else. That's not what I mean. What I want to focus on is the sincerity and the depth of that intention. What that means is, what's also reflected in there is the understanding of an individual of a certain action. So I can pray two rak'ats, but for example, Ayatullah Bahjat rahmatullah alayh had prayed two rak'ats, you wouldn't say that they're two equal rak'ats. Right? His salat would be worth a lot more. Why? Because of his understanding of Allah, because of his concentration on Allah, because of his understanding of the reality, because of him having being worked on himself, because and so on and so forth. So one thing that I would like to highly, highly recommend, that at least a part of the night for those who are successful in staying up all night, or regardless, even if you're not able to because of work or whatever reason, not able to stay up all night, spend at least a part of the time that you put aside for the ibadah, thinking and contemplating. Think about what I've done in the past. Think about my shortcomings in the past. Think about what do I say to my imam and how do I act with my imam. Think about what do I promise to Allah and how do I act with Allah. Think about the things that I promised him last 15 Sha'ban, but I never acted upon them. Think about all these things. Think about the shortcomings. Do istighfar. So I do istighfar for all my shortcomings, all my mistakes, all my sins. And then, almost as importantly, I make a pact with my imam tonight, on his night, that, Ya Abba Salih, I'm making a pact with you that I am going to, for example, start praying Salat at the earliest hour. Ya Abba Saleh, I'm making a pact with you on this night of yours that I will start trying my best to pray Salatul Layl. I, Ya Abba Saleh, am making a pact with you that this upcoming year, I'm going to spend more time on the Quran. Ah, Ya Abba Saleh, and so on and so forth. You don't have to do all of these. You probably shouldn't do all of these. Because if I make a pact with all of these, with my imam about all of these, I'm most surely going to fail. So I pick the things that I need to really work on. Step one, you can get advice from ulama in your cities. You can get recommendations from scholars in your cities, other scholars you know, scholars who've taken steps in this path of improving themselves, of knowledge, and so on and so forth, and inshallah be able to prioritize according to that. But the important thing is this, that one thing that we're trying to realize in this night is to be able to wake up from this ghafla of ours, wake up from this slumber of ours. In the same verses that we quoted before, Surah Rum, chapter 30, verse 6. So it says, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعَدَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. This is the promise of Allah, and He does not go against His promise, but most people don't know. The next verse, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. That all they know is the superficial aspect of the world. That's all they see. All they think about. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. All they see is food. All they see is money. All they see is husband. All they see is wife. All they see is mother, father, children, house, car, business, job, masjid sometimes, salat sometimes. All they care about, the extent of their knowledge is just the superficial aspect of it. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Verse continues, and they're completely oblivious of the depths of these meanings. They're completely oblivious of the hereafter. They're completely oblivious of anything that relates to the hereafter, which is the soul of these actions, which is the soul of these people, which is the soul which is my own soul. So completely ghafil, completely oblivious from the reality of those things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on this night, inshallah, give us the tawfiq to at the very least, just take that one step. Take that one step. Make that one dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That give me, bless me with at least a movement in the direction where I come out of this negligence, where I come out of this ignorance, where I come out of this ghafla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses me with a deeper understanding. With a deeper understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this special night to inshallah forgive us all of our sins, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of all the mu'mineen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah protect all the mu'mineen around the world from this virus that's going around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah bless us all with his special blessings during this night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with forgiveness in this night. We hope and we pray that the Imam of our time, Ajallallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, pay some attention to us on this night. We hope that he helps us through. We hope that he takes us by his hand. He takes us by our hand and gives us the tawfiq and helps us in becoming of his closest companions, inshallah. Once again, congratulations to all of you on this auspicious occasion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all, to protect you all, and inshallah, may He accept this from all of us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.